This is NPR's Morning Edition. Bob Edwards is away. I'm Howard Berkus. This story sounds like something out of the killing fields of Kosovo, Cambodia, My Lai, or Rwanda. Up to 120 dead, including a dozen women and three dozen children. Some shot at close range, some clubbed and stabbed. It happened a century and a half ago at a place called Mountain Meadows in Utah. And it wasn't soldiers against Indians or Indians against settlers. It was one group of pioneers attacking another in a massacre that still defies explanation, even among historians and descendants of the victims and attackers.
Why do we do these things? Mass hysteria, I think in the final moments of that thing down there, I think it really got out of hand.
It was just so horrible, people could not bring themselves to speak of it. It just became lost in history.
There are those who still in Utah live under a cloud of guilt. There are those in Arkansas who live under a cloud of bitterness and hatred.
Northwest Arkansas is where the story began, at a spring along Crooked Creek. Here in April of 1857, horses and cattle grazed in a meadow, covered wagons and carriages gathered, and the Tacketts, Bakers, Dunlaps, and other families talked of the journey ahead. It's not clear how many camped here then, 100 people perhaps, mostly children and teenagers. J.K. Fancher had 14 ancestors among them.
Got to remember that was at a time in American history when everybody wanted more space. These old pioneers, they would move west because they wanted to have new territory they could claim their own and not be bothered by people living nearby. It's part of that innate desire in American people to always be looking for something new, a new frontier.
There was gold in California streams, lush crops in the valleys, even relatives waiting. The wagon train had its own bounty, a cattle herd as big as 600 head, a fortune in gold coins, and all the worldly possessions the emigrants could carry. Little is known of their journey until August, when they reached Utah, a territory then, a theocracy governed by the leaders of the Mormon Church and settled mostly by Mormon faithful.
I think that they had targeted this wagon train from the moment it rolled into Great Salt Lake City.
Will Bagley is a historian and author of Blood of the Prophets, a forthcoming book on the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
The Mormons had suffered quite a bit on the frontier, and they had been driven from their homes in Missouri and Illinois. And they had adopted the attitude of the Jews after World War II. Never again. The U.S. Army was marching on Utah. There was a phenomenal war hysteria. I believe that the immigrant train became a target of opportunity and a sense that they could extract some revenge on America, specifically by attacking this wagon train.
Utah territory was considered rebellious because of total Mormon dominance of the government and courts and the persistent practice of polygamy. President Buchanan sent federal troops to depose Utah Governor Brigham Young, who was also president and prophet of the Mormon Church. Just as the Arkansas wagon train arrived, Young and other Mormon leaders issued clear orders, according to Glenn Leonard, director of the Mormon Church Museum of History and Art.
Be very suspicious of everyone that comes through. Don't sell any supplies to them. Be cautious, be careful, be suspicious. Prepare, get the militias ready. We're going to be attacked. Those attacks may come from all corners. They may be immigrant parties. They may be the U.S. Army. They may be whoever. We need to be on guard.
There may have been some specific concern about the Arkansas wagon train. It came from the same region of Arkansas where a Mormon apostle was recently murdered. Settlements on the wagon road south included people who vowed to avenge the blood of their prophets. A Mormon hymn of the time, recorded later in the 1940s, survives in the Fife Folklore Archives at Utah State University. Gentiles are how Mormons refer to non-Mormons. Reports of the time from people trying to justify the massacre accused the Arkansas emigrants of poisoning wells, killing livestock, raiding crops, and jeering Mormon settlers. One story has one of the immigrants bragging about killing Mormon church founder Joseph Smith and promising Brigham Young would be next, historian Will Bagley.
The stories of all these alleged atrocities by the immigrants are total fabrications. There is not a single solid piece of evidence that the immigrants did any of these awful things they were charged with. These people were slandered in many ways even before they were dead. And they continue to be slandered to this day without these malicious charges.
This is what happened. 1,500 miles from the gathering place in Arkansas, here at another spring, at a place called Mountain Meadows. On September 7th, the wagon train was attacked. The wagon circled. Gunfire lasted 4 days. Two officials from nearby Mormon communities rode in under a white flag. They blamed the attack on Southern Paiute Indians and promised safe passage if the emigrants gave up their weapons and livestock. Short of water and ammunition, some bleeding from wounds, the group agreed. Shirley Pyron is a descendant of two wagon train families.
The women and children were taken in wagons on up the way they had come down the valley, taken out of sight, and about the time they got out of sight, the immigrant men were told to come along with them. As I understand it, there was an immigrant and a Mormon marching out side by side, and then on a given command, and the command was, do your duty. On that command, each Mormon turned and shot hit the immigrant beside him point blank. Most of them in the head, we have found from the remains.
And what happened to the women and children?
At that time, there was people stationed on up the valley who converged upon the women and children and just slaughtered them, except the few children they estimated to be under 6 years of age, thinking they would be too young to remember anything. And so they were just slaughtered.
Oh, it's sad. These people were God-fearing people on their way to California to a better life. And then to run into this kind of situation through basically no wrongdoing of their own, it just doesn't seem fair.
Paul Furr stands at a massacre monument erected by the Mormon Church, a pyramid of rocks inside a wall of pink sandstone. Remains of Mountain Meadows victims lie beneath it. Furr is a descendant of the only Mormon leader tried and executed for the attack.
And I'm not going to criticize the Mormon militia for their participation in here. They were doing what they thought was in their best interests. They had to live with this. And I bet they had some rough times because they were good God-fearing people also. But that's in no way by way of justification for it happening. These people were on their way thinking they're going to have a new life, and it ended here. It ruined their families, and it ruined a lot of families here in Utah.
Tomorrow, resolving a century and a half of bitterness, attempts at reconciliation in a killing field in Utah.